to the regular exclusive podcast with Jason Renee. And before we jump into the just charming movie that is Wonka, we've been talking about every so often some of the craziness going on with Scream 7. And maybe the ultimate plot twist happened this week. I did not imagine any way for the studio to like
come
pull
back
something out.
Yeah.
But I think like this is the best case scenario of what they did.
So yeah, basically Neve Campbell announced it this week. Of course it was her, but like she posted like the top page of the script and it had her name on it. And then it was also directed by, which was also the, I think the other piece of like why this is exciting, right? Because like Neve Campbell's back, you need her. They needed to get her back. If she didn't come back, it would have been starting over with new characters at 7 would have been way too much.
Yeah.
But then the fact that they, that the script said Kevin Williamson directing. So I was like, fuck yeah. Cause he wrote the first three, I mean four, sorry, not the first three, the first two. And then the fourth one.
Yeah.
Which are the best ones.
Yes.
Personally. But then the fact that he directed Sick last year that we really loved,
loved
I'm like
it.
Totally all in on this. This was, I came back. I never thought I'd say I'm back on Scream 7, but I'm back.
Yeah. I mean, I was expecting Neve Campbell to come back, and I hope that she got paid a lot to come
Pretty
back.
Sure that's the only fucking way they got her back was like, okay, let's combine Jenna Ortega and Melissa Barrera's salaries plus add on however much to get her to do this.
Yeah.
And then they were like, okay, because like, I think they must have known. I honestly didn't think they had it in them. I thought they'd just fucking lowball her too. So the fact that the studio actually like went out and made an effort to get her back and did the right thing, I feel like at least this time, not initially when they fired Melissa Barrera, but they needed to do this. And I'm proud that they actually did it.
Yeah, but Kevin Williamson coming on board to direct, that I did not see that coming, because he's the writer, he's the guy who really orchestrated all this, and then partnered up with Wes Craven and made it awesome. Now him coming back, being able to write this whole thing and direct it, we loved Sick, big fans of it. Now I'm like, okay, I don't know what the plot's going to be. I don't even know if it's going to like acknowledge the events of like the last two movies. Like, but
right. I have no idea where they're going to go with the story, but like the fact that Sydney's back makes me feel better. And then that probably also means that we'll have Courtney Cox back, I'm assuming, if they can afford both stars. Cause Dewey's gone, sad, RIP, but I wonder what the movie's going to be, but I don't care. The fact that Kevin Williamson's directing, I did see he didn't write it. It's the same writers from the first, from Scream 5 and Scream 6. So,
okay, gotcha.
It's that, Guy Busick. And I think, at least I know Guy Busick is like the main writer. So,
okay.
I'm hopeful. I'm curious where it's going to go. But like the fact that they got Neve Campbell and Kevin Williamson, I'm like, all right, you fucking pulled me back in. I thought I was out, but now I'm like, okay, maybe I am curious what you're going to do. I'm going to wait for that trailer, baby, but I'm kind of like actually excited now.
Well, hopefully we get it, time for Halloween next year.
Yeah, I doubt it, but maybe the following, maybe 2025.
No, I'm not. I said next year, not
Oh,
this
okay,
year.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I don't know when it is, Jace.
Please
I don't know.
Rush this. Please
no,
don't
this needs
rush this.
Time to marinate. I mean, the script is already written. I honestly was like, this guy writing the script has the hardest job ever once everything was like blown up. But like he kept writing, I guess. So good for him. But he was like, if Sydney doesn't come back, I'm fucked. Like he probably baked everything on that.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break and then get into Wonka.
I've spent the past 7 years traveling the world perfecting my craft. You see, I'm something of a magician, inventor, and chocolate maker. So quiet up and listen down. Nope, scratch that, reverse it.
Mr. Wonka, I can say you're a man of great ingenuity.
What are you doing?
I'm making chocolate, of course. How do you like it? Dark, white, nutty, absolutely insane.
Many people have come here to sell chocolate. They've all been crushed by the chocolate cartel. You can't get a shop without selling chocolate. And you can't sell chocolate without a shop.
So you're the funny little man who's been following me. I will have you know that I am a perfectly respectable size for an Oompa Loompa.
An Oompa what now?
Allow me to refresh your memory.
Oh, I don't think I want to hear that.
Too late. I've started dancing now. Once we've started, we can't stop.
All right, let's talk about Wonka. Renee, I don't know if you were like me, but I had very low expectations watching this. Like I was not expecting to watch it and text you and say, I'm totally down to do an episode on this.
I mean, I watched it before you and I was still like, I feel like you might like it, but like, who knows, you know, it could not be your thing, but I was honestly really surprised that I enjoyed it. And I really love all the Wonka movies. Like, I'm a big fan of both of the versions so far. And I love like Roald Dahl's stories and movies. So I feel like I'm the prime audience, but I was really just not interested in it. I don't know if it was the musical and the way that they didn't sell it as a musical, because that's a thing now. But I forgot that the original, like from the 70s, is actually a musical as well. So I don't know what I was really like worried about.
I don't even really know why I think I watched it because you said that you liked it. I was like, yeah, I'll give it a try. But yeah, like this movie isn't even really like my thing. Like, I don't really like musicals all that much. There's a handful of them that I like. I'm not the biggest Timothée Chalamet fan. I think he's fine. And so like, there just wasn't really anything that's like, oh yeah, I think I'll watch this. So, but I gave it a try and it's just delightful. It's just such a nice movie.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It doesn't have to be the best adaptation of a Wonka thing. I mean, it's also like a whole new story, you know? So there's really like, they can kind of play around with it, but I agree. Like, I was ready to not enjoy it and think this is stupid and pointless. And why did they even make it? But like, I would say pretty quick, like 15 minutes in, I was like, I think I'm all in on this movie. I think I'm into it. Like, I feel like it did a really good job of not being like, it was just better than I expected. But I mean, it doesn't have to be the best movie ever, but just a really good movie that really didn't have to be. I feel like most of these prequels seem like cash grabs. So I just assumed this one was, and maybe that's why it started. I'm sure that that's how it started, but I feel like they did a good job with making it at least have a point.
Yeah. And I think you bring up a good point of what I wasn't sure about leading up to it is that it's a prequel, and prequels, they're either really, really great or they're pretty meh, or they're obvious cash grabs.
Yeah.
And this one kind of felt like a cash grab. It wasn't until I saw the director, Paul King, was attached to it. I'm like, okay, maybe there's something here. Paul King, you know, man behind Paddington, Paddington 2.
I still don't watch those, but from what I hear, it's also just delightful. So, I mean, after like seeing The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent and then now actually watching a movie of his, I feel like we have to watch it. We have to watch Paddington 2.
So watching Wonka and then deciding we're going to do a podcast first led me down an interesting road. I watched Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I then watched Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and then I watched Paddington.
Really?
It is. So I haven't watched Paddington 2 yet, but just Paddington. It is offensive how cute that movie is. Like, I had the biggest, dumbest grin on my face the entire movie.
I believe it, honestly. I feel like you might go in even wanting to hate it, and then you're like, I can't. And I hate that I can't. Yeah, that's how I felt with this movie. It was like, why don't I hate this?
Yeah. And a bunch of the cast in Wonka is in Paddington. And so I was like,
that's what I heard. So I was like, that's cool.
Oh, I recognize you. I recognize you. I'm like, oh my God.
All right. We need to put it on the books. We're watching Paddington 2 coming up. We're going to probably cry our eyes out, but hey, I'm ready for it. But yeah, I feel like you made a great point with like the prequel. There's either like they're good, they're bad. There's hard to have like an in between. You know, it's either like this was just made so they could hold on to the licensing or they could milk it for some fucking extra money. Yeah. Or it's like actually a cool, unique idea. And I think some of even the best prequels are kind of like standalone stories that happen in the same universe. I don't know if that technically counts as a prequel, but I would say maybe if it's like an earlier, like the Mandalorian, technically it would be like a prequel to the original. I guess no, it's after. So never mind. It'd be a prequel to the new movies.
I would call them spin-offs.
Okay, so more like that. So like, okay, then never mind.
I
But you're
mean,
right.
but like it's really nitpicky. I don't think it totally matters a lot. But so I actually put together a list here for us to kind of talk through.
Perfect.
None of the movies listed here are in that spin-off story or
Okay.
sidequel category.
Side quill, I like that.
But I mean, like you have some of the ones that I feel like are pretty universal, like these are great prequels. And also, I was looking it up since I'm not a writer, I wanted to do some research on it. And it seems like if you boil up these two points, this is kind of like what a prequel needs to be in order for it to be good. And that's one, it keeps like the vibe and the flavor of the original, but it also brings something new to it.
Totally.
And then the second point is it adds to the story of the original or change like shifts how you see it, like shifts what happens in the original. So like a prime example of that is Orphan First Kill. Like Orphan horror movie classic, First Kill. Did not expect that to be good either, but that one was like, whoa, this totally changes the first one.
I feel like that second point there is good, but it's also like that can easily be the thing that works against your prequel. So it's like if you don't nail that, you're fucked. Like those two points, I feel like those are like if you can't get those right, it's gonna be a disaster. I especially feel like if you change things from the original, sometimes it's like, why the fuck did you change that? Now it's worse. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so the big thing is it has to add value to it. So on the other end of the spectrum, the not so good ones, Dumb and Dumberer. I love Dumb and Dumber. Dumb and Dumberer has only one good scene, and it's because of Bob
And the shit
Saget.
everywhere, all over the toilet. Yep.
But like that movie doesn't do
Anything.
anything to the original story. It doesn't provide any unique context or like information. So it just wasn't good. Or
I
like
feel that
another.
way about like Fantastic Beasts. That's my number one call out for like most unnecessary, unneeded, stupid prequels of all time. I don't care. The first one's okay, but the second two just get progress. I didn't even see the third one. They were all just so bad. And I was like, nobody cares.
Yeah, I don't even think I saw the second or third one,
Yeah,
but
not worth it.
or like another great prequel, Pearl and X. Like Pearl is like a totally different movie, but it weirdly fits in with everything that's going on, and it gives you this whole backstory of this character that we know nothing about
And that
in
you
the
only
first
see in
one.
like such a negative villain light in the first one that you really kind of get to see him. I agree. There's like really interesting ones. I feel like you can just, it's so obvious when it's like a cash grab because I feel like the only ones that I can think of that are like really bad are ones that like, especially when they just tack on the name of the like franchise afterwards after they have the script. Sometimes that works out, you know, like what is it?
Texas Chainsaw. They have like three prequels.
Totally. Yeah. But like I was thinking like so Cloverfield, the movie's like the second one was not a Cloverfield's original story either, but they like that one works, right? Like that one's a great suspenseful story and sure it fits in, but it's still kind of like thrown in there. Cloverfield Paradox is like a prequel and it tries to explain everything and it's just nonsensical. It's
Yeah,
just bad. And
does
that's
way too
another
much.
example where it was like maybe if it was its own sci-fi standalone story about the multiverse, but like tacking on like the shit in Cloverfield and like calling it the Clo. I mean, it was just bad. It was stupid. But I feel
Or
like Pearl is like the perfect example. Although, does it count if they like planned it while they were making the first movie? I still think it does. Like Godfather Part Two, right? Or whatever one.
yeah, it might be a
Or Part Three.
unique situation, you know. But like another one is like Red Dragon and Silence of the Lambs.
Yep, I was gonna say Red Dragon's like, I love that
I
one.
love Red Dragon. Or
It's such a
like
good prequel.
great one. And then like on the bad side, The Thing from 2011.
I think that one's pretty mid because I feel like the story it tells is actually like it's totally unnecessary. We really don't need it, but I like how much effort they put into like lining it up with the original movie. The CGI ruins it, but they did a good job with the story. So I'd put that in mid.
Yeah.
So that's like just okay, but like for me, I would say like the new Pet Sematary Bloodlines, fucking stupid, pointless. Nobody cares. Oz the Great and Powerful. I don't know if you ever saw that. Maybe one of the few.
Is that
mistakes.
The James Franco one?
Yeah, with Sam Raimi made it, and it's just not good at all. but like, it's crazy when you get like some really weird ones that fit. Like, I always thought I saw the first Ouija movie when that came out, like the Ouija board.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then Ouija Origin of Evil came out, and that was like Mike Flanagan's big break. It was like a prequel of the movie that nobody fucking even liked, and he made it. It's like an incredible fucking story, and it's so good. So I was like, I'm all in on this franchise. There's nothing else. They never did anything else with it. Like, he nailed it. I think my ultimate favorite will always be, though, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Because it's a second movie, but it's a prequel. And, like, a lot of people really hate how different it is. But, like, I loved everything about it. So. Yeah.
I haven't watched that one in a long time. I need to go back.
It's a good one. And it's fun. It's like a... I don't know. A lot of people really hate it because the main chick, but like she just nails what she's going for with the character and it works. But
yeah,
it's crazy that like, I mean, how many more Indiana Jones movies have they tried to do? Even like, were they trying to do like a prequel or the mostly stick to sequel, but it's like even their sequels can't nail it as good as the second one did because you got to keep the vibe, man.
Yeah, I mean, and the most
not
recent
the
one, I never saw the most recent one, but I know there's time travel. So is it kind of like its own prequel and a sequel?
Right. I mean, it's definitely, I mean, if you think about it, though, it really doesn't seem that strange because it's like the last one had aliens, the fourth one. The third one had like, oh, the fucking like, you know, Fountain of Youth kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then it was like, yeah, they also had like, you know, like a god is real and aliens and like all this shit. So time travel's really not that far off.
And then Temple of Doom is like shamans and
shaman magic, like they're pulling your
heart out and possessing you.
Yeah, so, that's what I'm saying. So, there's magic everywhere. This is not a real universe. But I will say the new one was better than the fourth one. But
Indiana Jones is just you know, indiscriminate in what they allow what supernatural forces to occur. They're like, you're all here. There's not one. It's all of them.
But that's the thing is that I love that for the fourth movie, one of the things that people hated the most about it was that he survived like the nuclear blast.
Oh, that was my favorite scene.
Bridge.
I thought that was hilarious.
They're like, that's so stupid. I'm like, there's fucking magic in these movies. What are you complaining about? That seemed like the least concern that I had, you know?
He drank the Fountain of Youth. Like, he can survive a lot of things, even at
literally
that age.
Exactly. People just forget about it. Fucking idiots. Anyways,
but
back
Wonka,
on track.
Wonka, I thought was a great prequel, especially considering that I thought it was going to be not very good.
I mean, it doesn't like if you didn't have this movie, like it would still be fine. But it's like I'm glad that we do and that it was way better than I thought. Like it wasn't just a soulless cash grab, which I think is important because it had the same vibe as the original or like as a Roald Dahl story, which I feel like is the most important part. And that's like one of my favorites. It's like almost like Alice in Wonderland where like up is down and nonsense is actual sense.
Yeah.
Shit like that. I love it.
Well, and apparently Timothy Chalamet was very hesitant to jump on board with this because he said exactly that. He's like, some of these prequels, you know, they don't really seem to have a lot of heart in them. But
exactly. He's right.
I'll tell you what did have a lot of heart was the fucking box office. This movie was huge. It's on a budget of $125 million, which... That's a giant budget for a family-friendly movie.
I mean, I bet you the fucking one for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Tim Burton, was probably 10 times more, but I could be wrong.
That was back in 2005. I don't know. Maybe there was definitely a lot more CGI in that one.
Yeah. But,
so on a budget of $125 million, it grossed over $600 million. Like,
damn.
That's huge for a Wonka prequel that no one was asking for. I don't know if Timothy Chalamet just like has that kind of pull.
He does.
Or if there's some secret like cult of Paddington that I've never come in contact with, that they're like, we'll see any movie that this guy does. If that, if there is a cult, please reach out to me. I want to join it ASAP.
Of course you do. I haven't even seen the second one. I'm all in. Okay, I just looked it up though. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Tim Burton's version, had a budget of $150 million and it made over $475 million.
All right.
But I also think that's a Tim Burton, Johnny Depp thing, not necessarily, because the original story didn't even, like, the original movie was like a cult classic. It didn't do well.
Yeah.
It wasn't reviewed well.
I didn't realize that.
Me either.
When I rewatched Willy Wonka, because it seems like such a beloved movie. Like, it's like a no-brainer. Like, people love it. And I looked up and, like, it was a huge bomb.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's crazy. But, I mean, I grew up with it. We grew up, you know, in the 90s. So by then it was like people figured that shit out. But
yeah,
still, it is weird because now that's the one that everyone defends. But you're like, but you guys fucking hated it when it first came out. If you were around back then, you know, I just feel like. But it is interesting. Like, I don't feel like it's the Wonka. I think it's the actor or, like, the team behind it that's, like, mm-hmm. more of why these are making money. Like, I doubt that we're going to get a whole new series of Wonka movies now.
So here is the thing that I thought might surprise you. Hmm. After watching Wonka, I think this is maybe my favorite Timothy Chalamet performance.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
interesting.
I was really surprised.
He's great.
Like, he's so good. Like, I think I'm just used to him kind of like playing this like quiet
Dune.
Brooding emo.
Part one, at least. I mean, yeah.
Well, like, I think about Bones and All.
Lady Bird.
Like, yeah. Like, I think like Little Women is maybe like the most like outgoing I've seen him. But like, it was so refreshing and like nice to see him play this like eccentric guy. And
yeah,
he's quirky and weird, but also like very engaging, very believable, very like charming in his own way.
He's a movie star, baby.
Yeah, he was great. And we can just kind of get this out of the way. I liked him because I could see kind of the evolution from him to what we see with Gene Wilder. Because like mm-hmm. Gene Wilder at that point, he had locked himself in the factory, secluded himself from the world for 20 years. And so in that movie, he's very odd and unhinged, but like he's still human. He's just totally detached. You're like, kind of like this, he's less weird, but still quirky. You know, he still bonds with human beings.
He's like still, he's very naive in this movie. He hasn't learned the ways of the world. He's like very much like, I've depended on everyone's kindness until now. And it's like, great. Well, that's about to run out.
Yeah.
And like, you know, so he has to really kind of go through. It's like a coming of age story, I guess you could say, for him in this movie. But I kind of like how they incorporate elements of like Charlie and his character into Willy Wonka. Because
totally.
I feel like that was exactly like the magic recipe here, was that to not only fit like the Wonka that we know from Gene Wilder's performance and from the original movie, which we all know is great, but it's like, it's not exactly like he's necessarily copying him. He's definitely getting the same like kind of essence, you know?
Yeah.
But I think a lot of it is like that whole thing of like, you're also bringing in, that's why he connects to Charlie. And that's why Charlie has to be the right person to take over the factory. And so it's like really great the way that they did that, I thought.
Yeah. And it kind of goes back to that whole thing of like, you know, adding to the original movie. Like,
exactly.
There's so many obvious references to Charlie that like the pieces line up as to why, Wonka was drawn to Charlie and mm-hmm. why he tested him and all that stuff. It's just very, very good. I was still very surprised. Also, 10 minutes into this movie, I'm like, this movie is the definition of whimsical. Like
mm-hmm.
it just it has that
every
whole
frame.
Vibe.
Yeah, every fucking frame, everything's great. And then all the little things of like, hey, no daydreaming, there's a fine for that, you know, like shit like that. I really enjoy. But just, I will say, just to cap off the part about Timothy Chalamet, I'm sure we'll mention him again, but I will say, I was like, the reason that I turned on like, okay, fuck it, let's watch this movie, was because I just saw Dune Part 2.
Yeah,
and he's like night and day different from Dune Part 1.
Yeah,
like maybe at the very beginning, but even still, it's like he's just like got so much of this whole other side of him that you're seeing that I was like, shit, can he also pull off a fucking charming ass character in a musical?
Yeah.
He can. This guy's got the range. He can do fucking anything. It's incredible. I'm excited. And that's why I feel like I'm really glad to hear that you're also on the train now. Is that safe to say that you're on the Chalamet train with me?
Definitely than I was in the past.
Yeah, I'm driving the thing, but you might be on the back. It's okay. You'll work your way up.
But like, you said, like, you don't think we'll get more of these. I actually hope we do. Like, I would love to see another movie that like leads up to him shutting himself away.
I gotcha. Yeah. Hey, maybe they will. Honestly, they fucking could.
Because they actually planned this really good with how they did the story. Because, in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, they talk about how he locked himself away for 20 years because Slugworth and the competitors were like stealing his shit. And like, so there's the whole building his empire phase. There's also the getting the Oompa Loompas because mm-hmm. he's only got one right now.
Yeah.
Also, they did a good job of rewriting the story of the Oompa Loompas and not.
Don't know what's so bad about it. And I don't know if that will cut this out, but I feel like for me, at least rewatching the Johnny Depp version, which I feel like goes way more into the story of the Oompa Loompas, they were fucking living in fear, being eaten by giant monsters. And all they wanted was the goddamn cocoa bean. And he goes, that's all I fucking work with. Like, come live with me and you can have all the cocoa beans you want. If you can work for me, I'll pay you in cocoa beans even. And they're like, okay, because that sounds great. But I'm like, I get that the original too. And then also, but like, I know it has bad history and Dahl also, Roald Dahl, which what a name. But he also was like, I know, racist and shit like that. And has bad connotations. But I do feel like the last two adaptations have nailed it a bit better and made it less of a thing. I kind of liked how they used the same actor for the last one, like for every character, for every version of the Oompa Loompas, Roy Deep. He was great, but I heard that there was backlash this time because Hugh Grant is not a little person and that the community, the little person community, like fucking were upset. I don't know. I thought that maybe they're not called little people anymore. I don't know.
I mean, I could understand why people are upset. I could also at the same time think like, I think Hugh Grant might have been in support of that because apparently he hated filming all of this. Like, it was just miserable.
Because he's like, green screen. He's like,
and I need money.
So. Yeah. He has so many kids. And then it's like, I feel like he had a very similar, he was more kind of laughing at it. Like, I just fucking hated it. But like, Ian McKellen had a similar thing when they came back and did the Hobbit prequels because he was like literally by himself in a green screen room going, this is not why I became an actor. You know, like I didn't want to do this from acting with nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I do understand that. And also like I have loved Hugh Grant at this stage in his career, though, that he's doing things like being an Oompa Loompa. Like he's just in his like weirdo character phase, he said. But I'm like, hey, I love it. I'm glad he's getting paid for it.
Hugh Grant was great.
Yeah, he was perfect. He had the right attitude and shit. And I did hear that the whole body was obviously animated. Like he said he couldn't nail the body movements or whatever. Yeah. But I'm like, they did a good job. His face weirdly worked as an Oompa Loompa. I was like, that was the part I was like, oh yeah, I fucking cannot wait to see him.
Yeah, he was a big piece of the advertising for it. The thing that I really enjoyed about this is there's references to the original, but like they're just references. They don't outright like use the same song. Like every song in here is original. They only do the World of My Imagination song at the very end.
Yeah.
Like this movie is totally its own thing. It's not ripping off the original. It's paying homage to the original. And
it's not dumping it in your face.
Yeah, and like the Oompa Loompa, I was actually really glad that like Hugh Grant was used just as like this little spice that they throw in every once in a while. He wasn't like this focal character.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this is the origin story of Wonka and the Oompa Loompas are not totally tied to that. He has to get to a point and then the Oompa Loompas come in. And I really just I liked that. And I liked that he was kind of this like rival of Wonka. You know, it's just a different flavor.
It was a different like relationship than they've had. They're always like, you know, homies with him, and like he understands them and nobody else does. So you're like, the fuck are they up to, those guys? But I really do. I feel like I was curious, actually. I wanted to ask you just because, like, we have Gene Wilder, obviously, is like maybe the most well known Willy Wonka, but Johnny Depp is like, I mean, his movie did hella money. Like, people also still love that one. I kind of feel like Timothy Chalamet, if they were going to have him be blonde, it would have been like, okay, we're 100% doing the Gene Wilder. But I feel like maybe they left him with the dark hair because either that's part of his contract because he doesn't want to change it to blonde, or they were like, he's the perfect mix of both guys, of both previous Wonkas. I know that they really are hitting, this is supposed to be for the original movie, but it kind of almost, the look of him almost kind of fits for both.
Yeah, and I saw that Chalamet, I guess, he really likes both adaptations of it. So here's my thoughts on Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
The Tim Burton one.
Yeah.
Have you rewatched it in a long time, or is this like your first time rewatching it?
This was probably, I might be unique in this sense. I didn't really grow up watching either of them. I know I saw both of them at least once when I was young, so maybe 15 years ago. So I watched both of them for the rewatched both of them for the first time in a long time, back to back. I feel like I have a good grasp on it. I feel like I totally understand if you grew up with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with Johnny Depp. If you grew up with that, I understand you loving that. And then people who grew up with the other one, they love it. It's really just like two totally different generations of people. And I totally understand why they picked Tim Burton to do this. Like, Tim Burton was the man. Like, he did the Batman movies. He did Edward Scissorhands. Like, he did Big Fish. Like,
he did Planet of the Apes, but we don't talk about that, even though I still enjoy that one, I'll say.
But like, he had more style, especially with CGI, probably than anyone.
Yeah, he went a little ham on the CGI on that one, but I will say it's before he goes like totally nuts with it and goes like too much. But like, I really enjoy that version because it's closer to the original story.
Yeah.
And it's also, I really enjoy the stuff with like Charlie and the family and shit. Like, it's
the
just a better
doctor.
Yeah, the good doctor guy who ends up burning me later on in life. I really enjoyed him in his first couple movies with Johnny Depp. I thought they were great. But I just find that I love Gene Wilder's Wonka because it's like, it's great and it hits so many of the right notes for that movie. But like, I feel that Johnny Depp's version is similar. And I like the backstory that they give him, but I love how weird he is and how he's just like, ew, like grossed out by the kids and like so afraid of love and like just his like bizarre style. I know it's like totally just a Johnny Deppism, but like I'm all about it. Like the fake teeth and the bowl cut. I just I'm obsessed with it. It's like the opening for both of them, I think, is equally great. I know I'm probably maybe one of the only people to say that because I love when he like does the, you know, somersault out as Gene Wilder does that. So great. But I also just the song that they play and the fucking thing catching on fire and how weird and disturbing. Yeah. I find it odd, too, that people even find the Johnny Depp one that disturbing. I find it to be way more lighthearted than the original. But maybe I'm just crazy.
Well, so here's the thing. So me personally, I love Gene Wilder. Mm-hmm. I think he's unbelievable in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And then it's Timothy Chalamet, and then it's Johnny Depp. The big thing for me is I love in Willy Wonka how nothing is really like toned or like meant to be weird. Like, there's not like ominous music playing when they're in the factory. It's more like whimsical and stuff. But
sure,
the weirdness comes from Gene Wilder. So like, Gene Wilder is like flamboyant and funny and charming, and then he's totally nuts like when they go in the boat.
That tunnel still scares the shit out of me. I don't know how people go, yeah, the Johnny Depp one's scarier. Fucking way. It's funnier for sure. I think, but like, it doesn't have any of that sketchy shit. Like, it has
Wilder
like weird stuff, but
unhinged.
I was like, is he gonna fucking kill all these kids? They were all terrified in that scene too. It's just like, And I guess that I know that that monologue he does on the boat is like from either Wonka or from another, or sorry, from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, another Roald Dahl story. But like, it's fucking creepy.
It's
and the
it's
way that
crazy.
He does it, the performance and the lights. Oh, I was like, did I just fucking drop acid? And I was a kid. And I was so terrified of it. But like, I just found it so weird that people would not think that that I feel like that one's darker just because you don't see what happens to the kids at the end. You don't see them come out of the factory all fucked up. Like you do in the Johnny Depp version, you're like, yeah, they're kind of fucked, but they kind of deserved it. At least they're alive, you know?
Yeah, well, and also, like, Gene Wilder, he's so goddamn funny in, in Willy Wonka. Like, whenever the kids are doing something and he's like, no, don't, wait, come back.
Yeah, it's so good.
Like, he wants these kids to die.
That's what I'm saying. I will say, like, him and Johnny Depp, I do feel like they both have that vibe. Like with some of the things where Johnny Depp's just weirder, but he's also like, I would not serve, like, of course he's not going to be made into chocolate, like chocolate flavored Augustus flavored goop, like gross. He
tastes
like,
terrible.
And it's like, or he says things about everything in this room is eatable. Even I am eatable, but that would be cannibalism. Like he's weird.
Yeah.
But I feel like Gene Wilder is like definitely more actively rooting for the kids to die.
Mm-hmm.
Whole time you're like, okay, this guy is killing, like he might say, oh yeah, they're fine, their parents are gonna be fine. We never see him again, so fuck if anyone knows. And also I think it's like, I know it's part of the bit, but like when he yells at Charlie and his grandpa at the end, I feel like that's just so much harsher than it had any right to be. It really scared me as a kid. I was like, oh my god, he's like really angry. That was like really good, but it was scary.
So and so like my big thing with Tim Burton's is, and I think this was just the way that Tim Burton wrote the character. Johnny Depp's a really good actor, and I think he wrote him just too weird for me. Like Johnny Depp never felt like he was human. Like he felt like he was an alien from the very beginning. Even like even like the grandpa's like, I worked for him 20 years ago. So he hasn't aged at all. Like, it's just like
he does look perfect. So.
And like, he just seems he's so awkward around everyone. And like, I think that's just part of how they wrote him. Cause like, he has the cue cards
and the daddy issues and stuff. Like, they just add a lot more stuff to like, they give the backstory of Wonka, which in the original, you really don't get anything besides what the grandpa tells you.
Yeah.
And then also, like, in this movie now you get in the new Wonka, you get backstory, but like you've never had any of that. So when they throw in the dad stuff, I personally really enjoy the dad being a dentist. And like, he's like, I'm not going to be
Christopher
here.
Christopher Lee.
And then the building's gone. And it's like, it's just so great. Like all those
it's
little
so
things.
Tim
it feels
Burton.
Very, it's Tim Burton, but it also feels very Roald Dahl. Like I do feel like it's a good combo. I feel like I guess maybe if it was more of the tone of like Big Fish, where that felt like it had some darker shit, but way more whimsical, don't you think?
Love Big Fish.
It's more whimsical. I feel like that one could have the same tone and maybe if it would have fit better, but
yeah.
Honestly, Ewan McGregor could have been a great Wonka too.
Oh, that is, we can't think about this because it'll derail the whole thing for me.
I'm good at
really love that idea.
I know. Next episode, we're going to be pitching our alternate Tim Burton version.
But the Tim Burton one, it felt like the whole movie was just so weird to where like it didn't have this kind of like ebb and flow. It was all just like, this is bizarre and everything. But ultimately, though, it's not a bad
one opinion.
Movie. It's not a bad movie. It's definitely a flavor. And what's your kind of vibe that you go for? And because it's not a bad movie by any means. If you like the idea of a super weird Willy Wonka, then
To be fair, I do feel like it's a little bit. And one thing that I think people can agree on, even if you're not a big fan of it, is that it's a way better adaptation of the story. It's closer to it. It also puts the focus on Charlie and his story versus, like, I know he's like in the original, but they changed the name to Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory. This new one's called Wonka. It's like Roald Dahl said, Willy Wonka is not the main character. He's not, but it's like he's the flashiest character. Nobody cares about little orphan Charlie. I mean, he's fine, but it's like, I don't need to hear him sing, I've got the golden ticket again. Like, that's just enough. You know what I mean? We want Wonka because he's weird and eccentric. It makes sense that that's like the focal point, but I feel like that's why I think that the Tim Burton movie really embraced that. But I agree that Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is definitely the classical version. It's very much more probably kid friendly, I guess, but I don't know. I think this new one was a great, like, obviously they're not really dealing with the Johnny Depp one, which is fine, but you know, this the way that they did it, I think was perfect and it fit in really nicely with the original.
100%. I mean, and whether you want to say this is the prequel to either one, I think could fit. It's just whatever happened in those 20 years that he went into isolation, some weird things happened.
Yeah, except they gave him the sweet mom story instead of like the dad story.
I did like that.
Yeah,
I
it was
thought that
cute.
was
And I was like, I bet you that I knew early on, we'll get to it, but I was like, that secret to how she makes the chocolate, it's gonna be on the fucking chocolate bar you never ate. And why are they eating it? Like, how many years later? This is only 6 months later? I don't know how long chocolate
chocolate
lasts,
baby,
but
and it was the golden ticket.
you're right. It was the everlasting Wonka chocolate. Here we go.
So I let's talk about the music. So not a big musical guy. I actually w was really into the music for this. I mean, the best song hands down for me, I want to know what yours is, but for me it's Scrub Scrub.
Really? Scrub
I
Scrub. It's the
thought
only one I can
Scrub
really remember.
I thought Scrub Scrub slapped so hard. Especially
Yeah.
when the dog barks in harmony.
That
I
was
was like,
pretty
oh
cute.
my God.
I did like that. That was a nice, I really enjoyed that as an overall musical number. But I think my favorite was probably the one with like the chocolate mafia bosses and then Keegan-Michael Key. And what, because like his line in that when he's like, why am I singing? Like, it's just so funny. I don't know why. I really enjoyed that whole like little song number. It was great. And also the fact that in this like universe, people are bribed with chocolate. I thought that was cute.
Well, and that reminds me of the original, because like when they do the golden ticket thing, like it's like the world stops and everyone is tracking this ticket thing like it's a manhunt.
I know I didn't remember any of that stuff because I think when you're a kid it goes over your like over your head, but like the stuff in the original where they're like the guy's at the therapist and he's like, I'm telling you, your dreams aren't what you think. And then he's like, but I've been dreaming of the exact location of the golden ticket. And he's like, tell me where it is. It's like she's like, and then the guy making the computer that'll tell them the exact location, the computer's like, well, I wouldn't do that. It's cheating. And then it's like, it's just so funny that like all these adults were going to such lengths,
Yeah, like
even.
somebody shut their factory down to just unwrap chocolate
Veruca
bars.
Salt's dad. Well, he's just trying to fucking make his daughter happy. But yeah, like that whole thing with the whole business, changing it so that now they're doing fucking, we're just doing the candy bars. It's like, is a lifetime supply of chocolate really that exciting? I mean, I feel like nowadays people would be like, oh, that's not healthy. That's a bad thing. We don't, nobody wants that. But to a kid, that's what's so great about the story is that it makes it seem like the adults are all in on it too. Probably just because the money that they would make, I'm assuming. They don't really want to go to the factory, but like, Willy Wonka had to have factored in, like, what if a fucking weirdo, like, you know, adult dude, like, picked up a ticket and was like, cool, I'm coming in. Like, I'm gonna beat all these kids. Like, just, I mean, obviously, maybe he wouldn't win, but it just, no adults won. It's weird because they were trying so hard.
Well, and one thing that both the movies do well, I think Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory does it a little bit better. But really, these are movies about bad parenting. Like you're a bad parent,
Totally.
you're detached, you spoil your kids, you don't raise them well, and then you just get these little shit brat kids. And it's like that's what both movies focus on, is like who's the one to blame? The parents.
It's always that's the great part is that like for both Willy Wonka and then Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, both movies, I feel like I love the Oompa Loompa songs because they're all about how bad the parents are and how they fucked up their kids by doing this and how like, oh, you let the TV raise them. Well, great. Like all this shit is just really, it's a great story about that. I do find it a little concerning that like, oh yeah, but Charlie's family, they got it right. All four grandparents in one bed, they're saving so much cost that way. That thing is a fucking nightmare. I can't imagine. When I saw that when I was a kid, I was like, I will do anything in my life to not end up as part of that grandparent bed. That looks like where everyone goes to die. And it was also the only fucking bed I ever saw at their house. So I'm like, who else was in that bed? Did they all jump in there at night?
They're just sleeping head to foot.
So gross. It just reminds me of that John Mulaney stand-up bit about Charlie, and he's like, "Yeah, Charlie waltzes in with his golden ticket. I'm gonna take Grandpa Joe," and it's like, Grandpa George is sitting right there. He doesn't even get a line in the movie. This guy gets fucking jack shit. Plus, God. I do have to say, as much as I love both actors playing Grandpa Joe and that whole thing, the way that when they both, like, as soon as Charlie gets the ticket, they stand up. It's like,
yeah,
you guys could have been fucking working here. It means like, yeah, we don't have to have this, like, everyone in one bed. This is like, if I was the mom or the dad, I would have been like, okay, wow, I'm feeling like you're not going to the chocolate factory for sure. And I'm going to be putting you on fucking dish duty.
So, quick side tangent. When I was watching Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, I got weirdly like obsessed with like how successful was the golden ticket idea.
Oh, like as a business strategy?
Yeah.
It's genius. It's literally genius.
The numbers are literally unbelievable. So like...
It's insane. Just as a, like, if you think about it, as like, he's sure he's a good guy. He's supposedly going to give out the chocolate factory, but like, he could totally like fucking welch on that deal and not give anyone shit and have sold 5,000 times the amount of candy bars that he would normally sell.
How addicted people are to his chocolate. He's definitely putting drugs in them. Like, there's definitely cocaine in the chocolate.
There's
like,
definitely something in there. There's weird shit that you're fucking flying, or they're giving you the shit that's like, oh, this candy will last forever, or like a meal in a gum. Like, I love how many of the things still have side effects, and that's like a whole thing. I love that they kind of play with that a little bit in the movie. And like the silly use of ingredients and the silly way that they make them, it's all nonsense. But that's what I love about it. But you're like how the new one, it's like the hover chocks, right? And how they have a bug in them that will fly and then come out your ass eventually. And I was like, wow, what? I don't know. I would be like, I feel like I should have known that before I fucking ate this.
So according to the book, it took a month to find all the golden tickets. And they sold
a month. Okay.
Yeah. About 32 days. And they sold over 100 billion bars of chocolate. For reference, I checked Hershey's and they produce about 700 million annually. So he knew that this was going to work. So 100 billion. And then the price of the chocolate that is in the book, if you adjust that to inflation today, that campaign produced like $160 billion in a month.
That's crazy. Talk about a marketing. How come no business has ever tried to do this except for The Office when Michael Scott had his great idea? And it still worked out great. I mean, all five went to the same fucking client, but they ended up doing like, we'll take everything through you guys. You know, it still worked. I'm just saying, maybe that's a great idea, especially like Hershey's. Why have they never done this? For the Wonka movie, why wasn't this part of the promotion? Instead of maybe a chocolate bar, you buy, or even if the studio was like, buy a ticket, you could win a golden ticket.
I mean, I'm sure they did something. They actually created the Wonka brand a month prior to the original Wonka movie coming out.
I feel like they still didn't capitalize on this. If they could have made $160 billion in a month, they really should have fucking taken a like lesson from this.
Well, that also brings up one thing that was said in the Wonka movie, the Willy Wonka movie, that I was like, is this just an exaggeration to prove a point, or is they being serious? The mom tells Charlie at one point, there's 100 billion people in the world. And I'm like, wait a second. Because this takes place on Earth.
I mean, magic.
Is this an exaggeration, or is there actually 100 billion? Because I'm starting to think that there actually is 100 billion people in this universe if he can do that kind of sales.
Yeah, but I mean, you also have to factor in kids like Augustus Gloop, who are just, or like fucking the spoiled brat bitch, who's like, her dad's just buying literally like a whole factory, all of their exports going, bring it on over. Like, it's that much. It's crazy. So like, factoring in that, it's like pretty crazy. But like, imagine how many people are buying like their own, like again and again and again and again. It would be pretty fucking addicting. I mean, it's basically like, everyone who's in Vegas gambling, it's like the same fucking thing, but you have worse odds, but people, that wouldn't deter anybody. Charlie can win. I can fucking win.
It's funny. When I think of Wonka, at least in, you know, early on, I thought of nerds, like the nerds candy.
Yeah. Nerds rope.
Yeah. Nerds, just Yeah, anything nerds related. There's the Wonka Taffy branding is on there, and I'm like, at what point did they switch from like chocolate to nerds? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he had like gobstoppers and shit in the movie. Yeah. But I really enjoyed the candy in this movie. I thought that they did a good job making that like fit in with the original. Oh, yeah. Because that's always like the best part is seeing like all these different things, and the way that they look is so fun. Like the little lightning on the treats, or like the giraffe's milk, like, of course, you know, it's just so fucking weird, but great.
Yeah. And to go back to Keegan-Michael Key, his character is all over the place. Like, like
for real.
He gets bribed with chocolate and like he just goes crazy with gains a ton of weight. My favorite thing he says in the entire movie, though, is like the first time we see him and he's walking to the confessional to go down the secret elevator.
Yeah.
And like the monks are singing. He's like, "You guys sound great. Keep it up." Like, he just says that to the monks.
He's just like so extra and so all over the place. But like, I think the fact that like his character thing is just being addicted to the chocolate. You're like, yeah, he's fucking high on sugar all the time.
Yeah.
He's a fucking crazy. It's like he's high on coke, but he's high on sugar. My favorite though is I think when he comes out of that, when like at the very end, when he pulls up and like his whole fucking car just is like filled with those little like, you know, chocolate trays that are like in like a Reese's cup.
Yeah.
All of those like paper things just out of there. And it's like, he's so huge. I thought that was pretty great. It was obviously like such a fat suit, like totally typical, but he was the great part of this movie. And I was really excited that his character was so fucking funny. Yeah, he was great. This movie was just basically, I think, overall a lot funnier than I thought. I don't know why I would think it wouldn't be, but maybe the musical part, I'm like, I don't know, you know. But I also thought like this Mrs. Scrubbit and like Olivia Colman was great. I forgot she was so in this good movie until she showed up, and she was so like great as just being this total, you know, fucking schemy little bitch.
And
then her and the other guy, Chucklesworth or whatever.
Yeah. I love.
Oh, no, Chucklesworth is the comedian.
Oh, okay. I loved Timothy Chalamet's little speech to him. It's like, show her thighs, show him thighs. He comes out in his little, what's the Oktoberfest Lederhosen.
Oh, like Lederhosen.
Shortcut Lederhosen.
It's like, doing all the poses.
Show him thighs.
Show him the thighs, the knees. Yeah. Like all this weird shit. It was just delightful and cute in those ways that like I just forgot how great the original is at being that, you know, where it's just like, I can't hate it. I can't be mad. It's just, it's delightful. Like we said, probably 5 times already, but.
Oh, well, and then like it had just great moments that either just were there on their own or like they led into song. But like, I loved this is very much like a style of Paul King, that having seen Paddington, but like the scene where the guy proposes to the girl.
And then
she's like, I want someone who like can take me on adventures. Like, do you think you could do that? And he's like, nope, I don't think so. Sorry to waste your time. Like, just like this little moment, and then just like, what? Like,
and then it's really like the chocolate changes everything. It's so
yeah,
great.
And then he goes to the restaurant, and then
the
never
whole
like,
bit.
Never had chocolate like this was also
great
another
part.
Banger.
I would say like I don't know if the songs were as memorable as like the original, obviously, because like they're just pretty famous at this point and like they are really catchy, but I feel like there's a lot of good numbers in here where like the performances and like that, you could just tell he's like really comfortable with the musical.
Yeah.
You know, like knows how to shoot it right. And it was like always just a real big spectacle every time.
Yeah. And he has great chemistry with all of the other actors. Like it was, this was, I think why I wanted to talk about this movie with you is I felt like this was the perfect example of like, if you know, when people say like they don't make just like good wholesome movies anymore, you know, you think about like, I don't know, like Freaky Friday or like Home Alone, like those PG family friendly movie, like they just don't make those anymore. I'm like, this is a great family friendly movie. Like, it's not the greatest movie ever made. It's not trying to be, but like, it's just a good time. And even if you're not like a musical person or whatever, like
especially that, because I feel like for You and me, and then like other people I know who hate musicals. This one was one that they're like, I couldn't hate it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, and I hate to admit it, but I'm like, hey, don't hate to admit it, okay? It's okay. Like, this is a musical I feel like that people who don't love musicals can be comfortable saying that they enjoy.
You know, like you and I, we love weird movies that are not everyone's flavor. I feel like this is the most mainstream, flavor there is. Like, and people are like, oh, I don't like movies because they preach to me. They have all these things, all these blah, like this. This is just a lovely time. It's lovely 2 hours watching a whimsical movie. And you can be an adult or you could be a child, but you're gonna have a good time. If anybody like absolutely hates this movie, like I'm pretty forgiving. Like, not every movie is for everyone. I don't know. If you hate this movie, I feel like that's a you problem. You don't
I
have to
agree.
love it, but like this is a very enjoyable movie.
Yeah. Even if you're not a big fan of one of the other two, like if you like one of them, even I think if you just also like if you want to just watch a great, I enjoy movies where they're making like really good food or like chocolate, like the desserts and stuff, or like I love Ratatouille for the same reason, but I'm like, ooh, that looks so good. I feel like that was a big factor in this movie too, but also just being like, it's fun, it's lighthearted, it doesn't need to be the most important movie in the world, but I was actually curious if you heard about the other person who was like the number one like runner up for the role of Wonka, if Timothée Chalamet, fully turned it down or said or was busy.
I heard through the trivia on IMDb that it was Tom Holland.
Yeah, he would have been great too. I think he could have nailed it.
Yeah, I think he would have been good.
I think Timothée Chalamet is better, but I also think he's got that charm too that would be like I think Tom Holland has it to be like a movie star as well, but I think Chalamet is more like cemented himself in this at this point. I feel like
Yeah.
this movie really did that for him. Maybe it would have been Tom Holland's chance. I don't know, but I'm so glad it was Chalamet.
It would have been really interesting to see Tom Holland play a character this quirky. You know, like he's so, just like Peter Parker. Like he's so Spider-Man. Like it's
It's
hard
hard to
to,
get out of that.
but for him to just kind of be this oddball character, I would have liked to see it. I think he can do it. I don't
Yeah.
know. Chalamet really surprised me and really won me over in this movie. So.
I agree. I think it was like, I mean, I was already kind of I all always on the train, but like between this and Dune 2, I'm like, this guy's fucking unstoppable. Like, I think he's our next Leo, personally. I really
Yeah.
think he is. He's so great. It did say that like the other people they had previously considered was Donald Glover, which I think he could have nailed the Wonka
Oh,
vibe
he could
totally.
have been weird.
He
He
would have
could,
been
yeah,
weird, but
he
like
could have been,
charming. And like
yeah.
still like, are you gonna kill us? Like that kind of, I mean, he had that weird look. I feel like Ryan Gosling would have also been great. That was another one.
Yeah, but
Nailed it
I think
a
he
long
looks
time
too
ago.
old.
Nowadays he couldn't. He'd be like
Yeah.
regular
Like, yeah,
Wonka.
Ryan Gosling can do anything.
Yeah,
So
but then Ezra Miller was the other one. And I was like, thank fuck. Thank fuck.
Thank God. So I think the last thing that at least I want to touch on was real surprised at the I don't know if it's fully anti-capitalist,
It
but
is.
like
This
I was
movie's
like
pretty anti-capitalism.
it lays on pretty thick. Like I
The
mean first
mafia. The
yeah
chocolate mafia was a great little concept. I know it was in the original too, but like they really doubled down on that. Where like I guess I knew that the original was kind of poking fun at stuff, but not fully. Where like this was like they took it and ran with it and it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, they're like I mean, first off, it's starting with the whole like hotel taking advantage of him thing and like
And like reading the fine print, which is hilarious because it's like he does the same thing to the kids like
yeah.
later on at the factory. At least he's learned from his
He
own.
learned his lesson. But yeah, like just businesses will take advantage of people. That's why more good people need to run good businesses and not just try and make money.
But even when they do, it's like the big ones just swoop in to fucking buy them out or take them on as their own so that they're just the fucking mass. Like business in the market, they have the
Yeah,
share, but
they
it's like
essentially have a monopoly.
exactly. And those three, and it's like the three that they act like they're fucking enemies, all three of those guys, like Slugworths and all them. And
Yeah.
then it's like, oh, wait, they're really scheming behind the scenes. Of course they fucking are. Of
Yeah.
course they are, because the world's corrupt. And that's what Wonka needed to learn the hard way.
It was just so funny to me. Like, early on, I was like, okay, so this is kind of like a disruptor technology sort of story, you know, like every tech company is like, we're disrupting the market thing. So it's like, oh, yeah, they're kind of doing that, but they're doing it with chocolate. So it's funny. But then like, they like things just keep progressing where they're like, we are lobbying the police or the government to like, yep, shut them down and like do all this stuff. And then when he does produce, like open his store, then they sabotage him.
Yep.
And like, I was watching this and I'm just like, wow, there's really some like dark capitalistic stuff in this. And I'm like, the only thing they're missing is for the big companies to try and buy them out. And then like, as I was typing that note, the scene happens where he buys them out. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. What? It's literally perfect. It's like, and it is true that it's like, it's interesting to me because you kind of have to give that to Willy with the Willy Wonka story. It makes sense that capitalism would be like this whole thing. And like, that's why he was like, had to probably be like such a big conglomerate by the end as well.
Yeah.
Right. Cause he turns into like the fucking, you know, he's the number one. So
it makes $160 billion in a month.
Like, these guys are like fucking poor by that point. Like, they have their shitty stuff, but it just doesn't work. Like, they can't even keep up. So it kind of is like almost a villain origin story in that way. But yeah, it's kind of the opposite of the lesson that Charlie learns, which is kind of interesting. It makes sense because Willy Wonka, I mean, Charlie probably, if there's this, you know, I know there's a sequel to the book, but like none of the movies have ever gone that way. I'd be curious how hardened, you know, Charlie gets in his later years. Maybe he's the same as Wonka, because I feel like Charlie learned that like, even if you don't have a lot of money, you still have a chance. And it was very much almost like the opposite message of like, you can still do it. Even if you have nothing, you can like, you just have an equal chance as everyone else fucking dominating and buying everything, you know, or like, and if you're good, then good things will happen and you'll win. It's like the opposite of how things really are. I feel like it's funny that that's how like Charlie wins basically, which is great that that's what Wonka's goal is. By the end, he gets back to kind of his roots, but I'm also like, man, if you see Charlie in a couple years, he's definitely going to be hardened by shit. With all those other spies, I mean, by the end one, like, they're getting people working for Wonka. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Now that I say it, I want to see that sequel. So, a prequel, I guess. But
yeah, it would like, and I would especially love it with Timothée Chalamet, like, to see the events that happen to him after he opens the store that lead him to like to detach from everything. Like, what are the things that happen to him that make him jaded? And then like, what does that manifest into as that character? And also, like, you know, I would be open to them if they did another movie and like it was solid and like it had kind of a darker ending where it ends with him closing the doors sort of thing. I would be really interested in seeing a full-blown remake with Timothée Chalamet.
I could see it too.
And just like that journey
would
be a really great trilogy.
Honestly, and then he'd have that and the Dune trilogy and he'd just be unstoppable. Because I feel like a similar journey is happening to him in Dune. And he's like a totally different character by the middle one. And it's almost like he's dark Timothy. And I feel like this is like, he get into like kind of a dark Wonka version. And then by the end, really, for sure, maybe coming back, you know, he comes back to his roots at the very end. But like, how many kids does he have to kill on the way to get there? That's all I got to say. It's like, nobody talks about that.
I mean, I'll tell you what, if they do go that route and we get a full-blown remake with Timothée Chalamet, and if they crush it, and if Timothée Chalamet crushes it, he's going to win an Oscar.
Oh, yeah. Like, he'll definitely win an Oscar. I hope they don't blue ball him like they do with Bradley Cooper, but he's not desperate. He's more like Leo, where he's like, yeah, I don't care, even though it's been like way too long. Yeah. But like, I'm not going to let it show. I feel like that.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll reward him later, but I like that idea because I feel that could definitely be something. And it's like, you know, he has a long time to go before he gets to that age. So I feel like he could really spread these out, and then it would be more of like an exciting thing whenever one came out.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm all on board, Jace. I was initially very not like, oh God, are we going to get like 8 more Wonka movies? But like, you got me on board and I can't believe I wasn't with the Shams, but I'm in. Let's do it. I want 8 more. I want a series. Ooh, that may be too much.
All right. Well, I hope y'all enjoyed that sweet, delicious episode. That is Wonka. And I also just want to say, in between us recording and then recording this, I watched Paddington 2. It changed my life. It lives up to the hype. Go watch it. It's amazing.
I love it.
I'll watch anything that this guy makes now.
Paul King's got a new number one fan. Watch out.
Mm-hmm. But we are going to talk about a movie next week. It's one of the few times that we actually talk about a movie right as it comes out. Because it's skipping theaters. And Renee, what are we watching?
We are watching the 2024 reboot, remake, I don't know, of Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
It's, if you haven't seen the original from 1989, I believe, Patrick Swayze kicking ass, taking names. It's fucking great. Now they got Jake Gyllenhaal going against Conor McGregor. It's going to be, it looks like a really, like the fighting scenes in the trailer look really cool. I know it seems like it's going to be a little bit of a different kind of fighting style, but like, I love the original Roadhouse and I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a remake or a reboot.
No, like a reimagining, maybe?
Yeah, like it seems just totally different, just sharing the name and fighting people.
Well, I think also because, you know, he's like the security for a bar where they're getting bad customers. He starts being there to like throw them out and shit. So it does seem like it's the same story. I'm not saying they're not going to have like any cameos, I don't think, unless fucking like they ghost CGI Patrick Swayze in, which they could. Let's not do that. I agree. But I think it'll be good. And it's, like you said, it's skipping theaters and it's coming straight to Prime this week on the 21st. So you'll have a week to watch it before our episode drops, which is, should be plenty of fucking time to watch that. The original, if you haven't seen it, or if you just want to rewatch it, because why the fuck not? And that is also streaming on Prime already. And I think it's also on Max, in case you have that.
Oh, nice. Yeah, people, you got a week. Get your life together.
Yeah, fucking, it's not that hard. Okay, we're watching a lot of movies all the time, okay?
All right, well, that is it for this week. And we'll see you next week on the regular exclusive podcast.
Don't forget to like and subscribe. We out here.